Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you. We'll be right back. Now, for here at Jubilee, we probably represent every people group on the planet. I mean, if you look around at our choir and look around at those folks who raised their hands just a little while ago, you know, you'll know that we're every different color and every different racial group and whatever. And so we represent the nations of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. We represent the nations of the world. And so tonight as we sing this next song, which is one of our favorite songs here in Jubilee, it says, "Praise the Lord, all nations." Hallelujah. He's delivered us. He's brought us out. Hallelujah. He's saved us. Yes, he has.
Thank you. enjoyed the praise and worship part of the service. Well, let's get into the message. Amen. The message is at the cross, and the series is the cross. Okay, and we're taking this from Colossians chapter 1, verses 20 through 22. So let's start out with a prayer. Lord God, O Holy One, we thank you that we may lay aside our own nature and be lifted in spirit above all that is temporal and human and have joy in you, Lord. Despite all the evil surrounding us, despite the thousandfold misery of humankind, we may still rejoice in you, Lord, in all you do and yet do for us, Lord. Grant that we may go on rejoicing, Lord, having joy together, Lord, helping instead of burdening each other, Lord, until this earth is filled with the jubilation of those who have so richly blessed, Lord. Forgive us all our sins, Lord. Heal us in mind and body, Lord. Deliver us from all the corruption that tries to take hold of our souls, Lord. And we pray this in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles today, I want to share from Colossians chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I want to speak today on at the cross. God has designated the cross as the divine meeting place where man can approach God and where God reaches down to man. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away, God has a way of bringing us back to the cross. If we stay near the cross, if we have the vision of the cross, if we never lose sight of the cross, it will lead us in the path of victory because that is the path that Jesus walked. From the time that he started his ministry on earth, really, from the time he was born as a babe in a manger, Jesus put his sights on the cross. He never took his eyes off that cross. Even as a boy, Jesus said, I must needs be about my Father's business. Again and again, he reminded the disciples that the Son of Man must be crucified. He must be buried on the third day, and he will rise again from the dead. You remember in John 3, he said, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Then he had told us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. So I want to give you three thoughts to take this week about the cross. One is the reason for the cross. First, I think for a moment about the reason for the cross. Why was it necessary? Jesus said, the Son of Man must be lifted up as Moses lifted the serpent in the wilderness. Of course, the reason for the cross must begin with man's sin. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Someone had to die. Someone had to pay the sin debt. Someone had to atone for the sin of the world, and it had to be a sinless substitute. It had to be one who was tempted in all points as we are, and yet without one single sin. So Jesus went to the cross to die the death that you and I deserve to die. The reason for the cross is that we were sinners by nature, and we were sinners by choice. And Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men for all that have sinned. We are all sinners by nature. We are also sinners by choice. We are sinners because we choose to sin. We are sinners because we choose to rebel against God. We choose to follow the leading of our own nature. So Jesus Christ had to come to deal with sin, to die for sinners on the cross of Calvary. Jesus came because sin separates us from the Lord. In Isaiah 59:2, the prophet said, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor is the ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you. So I read a story of a man who was with a tour group, and they were going to Israel, and in the JFK airport in New York City, if you have ever been there, you know that anything can happen. And when the group got in that airport, the man got separated from the group. He tried to find the group. He asked questions about where they might be. He tried to find the gate from which his flight was to leave. He couldn't find the group. And finally, he ran down the airport to the gate where they were supposed to be, and they could see them through the glass. They were on the other side of a glass wall. He could see the group. He wanted to be with the group. He belonged with the group, and he longed to be with the group. But he was separated from them, and he couldn't find the door to get inside. Finally, someone helped him, and he found down the way a door to get inside so that he could be with the group. You see, he could see the group, but he was separated from them. And the Bible says that man is made for fellowship with God. Man initially wants to worship God. We can see God in creation. We can see God in redemption. The Bible says even our own nature tells us there is a God, but we are separated from God. We can see him, and we know we belong with him, but there is no way we could get to him until Jesus came and died on the cross at Calvary. And there Jesus made a way for you and me to have fellowship with God. When he died on the cross, that is the reason for the cross. Now let's look at the reality of the cross, secondly. But not only do I want to think about the reason for the cross, I want to think about the reality of the cross. Jack Price says again and again, Jesus is reality. I want you to know first the suffering of the cross was reality. Jesus suffered physically on the cross. Nails placed into his hands and his feet. A spear placed in his side. And of course, crucifixion is one of the cruelest forms of execution that the demented and twisted minds of men have ever devised. Oh, the pain of crucifixion and the suffering of Jesus on the cross were real. It wasn't imagined suffering. It wasn't that. He was the Son of God, so suffering didn't really apply to him. He wasn't that. His blood was somehow different than your blood and mine. The Bible said he was God in human flesh. And when the cross was lifted up and the crown of thorns was placed on his head, when the blood came streaming down his face and cheeks, and when the blood came from his hands and his feet and his side, the suffering that Jesus suffered for you and me was real. The reality of the cross is so easy to forget how real the cross was. Then the shame was real. How does a person feel when they are executed? How does a man feel when he's condemned to die in the electric chair? He sits in the chair and he's connected to the electrodes, and his arms are strapped down and his feet are restrained, and there's an audience of people watching him through a glass booth, and he sits in that room waiting for the charge of electricity to come and take his life. How helpless he must feel, and how ashamed he must feel, and what remorse he must feel. That here he is, a person whose life could have been so different, but because of the choices he made, he's sitting before the friends and family. Maybe his mother is there. He's sitting there before the whole world to see, and he's going to be executed for a crime. Oh, the shame of being executed. But what about the shame of the Lord Jesus? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, God had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, Jesus had nothing to be ashamed of. Jesus had never sinned. Not one time had he thought of an unkind thought. Not one time had there been uncleanliness or immorality in his heart. Not one time had he done any kind of thing that could have been construed as breaking the law of God. But Jesus on the cross must suffer the same kind of shame that a common criminal would suffer who is dying because they deserve to die. On the shame of the shame of the cross is real. His mother stood by. His disciples may have watched from afar off. Okay, his enemies came by and spit upon him and cursed him and reviled it. Can you imagine the shame that Jesus Christ experienced for you and for me? You see, God has made him to be sin for us through knew no sin. And then the separation of the cross was real. On the cross, Jesus said seven things. One of those things was, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The separation of Son from God the Father was real. Do you know what hell is? Hell is more than a lake of fire. Hell is more than a bottomless pit. Hell is more than outer darkness. Hell is more than weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Hell is being forsaken by God. No other person in the Bible could say they were forsaken by God. David committed adultery and then murdered to cover up the sin of adultery. But even then, he wasn't forsaken by God. God convicted him. God worked in his heart, and God forgave him and brought him back to himself. David could write in the 23rd Psalm, "For the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." But Jesus on the cross, dying for you and for me, was forsaken of God. I see a little child wandering in the street. Some parent, for some reason, has placed that little child on the street corner and said to the little child, "Wait here until mommy comes back." But they had no intentions of ever coming back. That mommy never came back to claim that child. And the child wanders the street until some concerned person realizes the plight the child is in. And then there are agencies of foster homes and family to take that child that has been forsaken. Well, when Jesus was forsaken on the cross, there was no one. Not even God the Father. Not even the bosom of the Father in which Jesus dwelt with him from before the foundation of the world. The separation of the cross was real, and Jesus suffered hell, which is separation from God for you and for me on that cross. The results of the cross, certainly. And then there were results of the cross. What were the results of the cross? Well, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 20 to 21, the Bible says the result of the cross is forgiveness. That through the cross we have the forgiveness of our sins. Paul talked about it in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, when he talked about through the blood of Jesus Christ our sins can be forgiven. The past sins, the present sins, the future sins, and the sins we are ashamed of, the sins that we are guilty of, the sins that bring remorse to our heart and life, and all forgiven, all washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ. So praise his holy name. Don't forget the result of forgiveness. And then there's peace with God. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, the Bible says, he made peace with God through the blood of the cross. Okay, that it means that you and I have an account with God that had to be settled. There was a sin that separated us from God, and it made us the enemy of God. It made us the adversary of God. But when Jesus died and shed his blood covered those sins, and because of the cross, Christ, the blood of cross, the Bible says, now God has nothing to hold against you or us because our sins have been covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. Is there anything God can't do? There are some things God can do, and one of those things is God cannot see my sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm covered in the blood. I am under the blood of Jesus Christ today, and I celebrate my salvation. I celebrate my Savior because he was willing to shed his blood for me. Can you imagine what it was like for the Father to give his Son? A man operated a drawbridge. A train comes across a bridge, and then when ships would pass underneath the bridge in the water, the bridge would be drawn up. And when the trains would be coming, the bridge would be lowered for the trains to pass over the water. And one day the man had drawn the bridge up, and he heard that a train was coming, so he began to lower the bridge. The train was closer than he thought. He should have started to lower it sooner, but he didn't. So as he looked down, the bridge was lowering, and the great gears were turning, lowering the bridge. There he saw his own son caught in the gears of that bridge. He knew that if he continued to let the bridge lower, that the gears would literally crush the life out of his own son. What would he do? He had a dilemma. He knew that if he didn't lower the bridge, lives would be lost. Hundreds of people would be killed who were riding on the train as it came speeding down the track because the drawbridge would be up. But if he lowered the bridge, his son would be killed. So he had, on the one hand, the lives of many strangers, and the other hand, he had the life of his own son. The man had been charged with the responsibility of safety of all those people who would pass down the track. So he continued to lower the bridge. And he had to watch the gears crush the life out of his son. And when the train passed over the bridge, the people on the train couldn't see. that they had no idea that someone had given their life, that a father had given his son, and that a son had given his life, that they may be separated from the horrible, tragic death. And so it is today that Jesus gave his life and gave his son, and God gave his son. And too many times, even those who know Jesus Christ in this church have taken the cross out of their hymns and the cross out of their sermons and the blood out of their life. And they have lost the vision of Calvary and the crimson wedges of Calvary's cross, not remembering that they are saved because a father gave his son and a son gave his life. Never forget the reality of the cross. Never forget the result of the cross. You have peace with God, forgiveness of sin, and the bridge to heaven is made possible for you to pass from earth to heaven with a God forever and ever, because Jesus gave his life and God the Father gave his Son. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, in your word we trust, in your word of eternal life given us in Jesus Christ our Savior. We build on this word of life in these days when it seems that everything is losing strength and value. Okay, and yet there is so much longing in people's hearts, Lord. You will not let our hope be disappointed, Lord. What have you spoken must be fulfilled, Lord. What is promised in Jesus Christ must come into being, not only for a few, but for the whole world, Lord, for which he died and was raised from the dead. So be with us. Keep us so fully alive that our lives reflect on all goodness that we can experience and we overcome all the evil which tries to attack us, Lord. We thank you for calling us to life, Lord, and for renewing us again and again, Lord. May your name be praised among us forever, Lord. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, let us get to the most important question. And that is, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If you do not, that's okay. Because in a moment, I'm going to give you a chance to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me ask you a question. Are you tired of traveling down this long, dusty road of never knowing which way is up or down? Okay? Or maybe you're lacking purpose in your life. Or maybe you're suffering from depression or anxiety. Or maybe you're suffering from such something more worse, like addiction to drugs or alcohol, sexual immorality, gambling, overeating. Whatever the situation may be, see, the Lord can take it away. But in order to do so, guess what, folks? He has to know you. If he does not know you, he cannot do anything for you. So the question is, do you want to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? If so, simply say this simple little prayer after me. Say, dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge to you that I'm a sinner, and I am so sorry for my sins and the life that I have lived. And I so desperately need your forgiveness. I believe that your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, shed his precious blood on the cross of Calvary and died for my sins. And I'm now willing to turn from my sins. You said in your holy word in Romans 10:9, that if we confess the Lord our God and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. So right now, I confess Jesus as my Lord of my soul. With my heart, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. This very moment, I accept Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior, and according to his word, right now, I am saved. So I want to say thank you, Jesus, for your unlimited grace, which has saved me from my sins. I thank you, Jesus, that your grace never leaves a license, but rather it always leads to repentance. So therefore, Lord Jesus, transform my life so that I may bring glory and honor to you alone and not to myself. So once again, I want to say thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, amen. Did you pray and receive Christ tonight? If so, please call 657-383-1487. That is, once again, area code 657-383-1487, and press the 1 key and give us your name so we can pray for you. If you just said this prayer, we welcome you into the family of the Lord, and may the Lord bless you and may he keep you highly favored. Amen. Well, that was the sermon for tonight. Okay, I hope you enjoyed it. Okay, I hope you got something from it. Right now, we're going to play some more music. Again, then in a little bit, we'll get into the prophetic word.
Smile when they won't even try.
child has gone into exile. Has arrived.
here's just a prophetic word of the day. The Father says today, drink deeply of my peace. The peace I give you is not dependent on tranquil circumstances. The peace I give originates in my presence that dwells in you, and that's something that only comes from circumstances that are quiet and restful in your life. My peace is a powerful resonant force that will quell the armies of the enemy pounding on the gates of your life, threatening wreck and ruin, okay? My peace is a river of life flowing out like a deluge to wash away all the noisemakers and conflict bringers that the enemy sends to distract you from what I have to say. So receive my peace. Here it is here, and it's available now. Breathe it in. Let the rest go. Shut out the clamor of the urgent and settle down deep in the fullness of my spirit until nothing else matters. My peace is not the absence of complexes, God. My peace is a fruit of the Spirit that grows in the trees of righteousness of which you are one. My peace is for the healing of the nations, and when I declared peace on earth, it was your personal earth that I was speaking to. Before there will ever be peace among nations, there must first be men and women that have appropriated the peace that I give the world cannot usurp or take away. Will you turn away from the clamor of men rattling and sounding their intimidation and threats against you? They want you to look at them and give heed to them. But I say to you, keep your affections set on me, and you will see those self-important demands blown away as the chaff, as the small dust in the balance of the larger testimony of my goodness, my favor, and breakthrough that is piercing the darkness around you, even now, says God. Amen. Well, that prophetic word goes out to those who need it most, and you know who you are. So, I hope you are blessed. Okay? Amen. Well, I'm going to play a couple more songs, and then we're going to wrap it up and call it a night. I'll say a prayer before we go. Okay? So, here we go. Thank you. some great music. Sorry, I do not have time to do a prayer, but to let you know, don't forget that tomorrow we will be off. We won't have a show tomorrow night. We will come back to you live on Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time with another great episode of Purpose Gospel Radio. Until then, God bless. Have a wonderful evening. Stay safe, folks, from the coronavirus. We'll keep praying for you all. Amen. God bless.